WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hottie. This is Christopher Daniels. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to the Rack, and now you are too.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all have become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use that for free here. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the sub screen. I can talk. And you can subscribe for free for 30 days. It's that simple. Also, if you want to follow the channel, you can hit that button as well. Or if you just want to hang out and chat, we're fine with that. We're happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin'.
We're here. Live talking wrestling on a Thursday night.
Hey!
Just in case anyone was wondering, that's what we do on a Thursday night.
Every night, or every Thursday, generally, at 10.
At 10. It's at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show. At Lynn's Ward, you can tweet us if you would like to. Listen, you can lurk, I don't care, just do the thing. And you can notice there's fancy new stuff.
Yeah, Rock's been giving us an upgrade for 2021. We're glowing up a little bit in the graphics department on Twitch. So if you want to check that out, head over to twitch.tv/WTRLive.
See, it glows. You know, glows.
The awesomeness.
It all glows right now. It glows.
Look at it. I mean, my God, just look at it. Look how pretty
it's
is.
Fancy. It glows.
It's very nice. So, you know, make sure you check that out. And if you're on the podcast, go check out the VOD just to see the fancy graphics. If you haven't seen them, because Rockford worked very hard on them, and they should be seen. But we have stuff to get into tonight. We have news, notes, NXT, and then later in the show, we will be doing Tweet of the Week and Elimination Chamber. So we have all that good, happy funness to talk about. So I say we jump right into the new news brought to our friends over at MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211.
All right, where do you want to start?
Well, I think we need to start with really the biggest story of the week, because this is not only impacted Elimination Chamber, this has impacted a lot of storylines going forward, and that would be that Lacey Evans in real life is pregnant. It was announced this past Monday night on Raw as a part of the storyline between herself, Ric Flair, and Charlotte. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is legit. She is in fact pregnant, so congratulations to her and her husband. There is no word on any type of gender or if they're going to reveal the gender or anything like that, but I believe this is their second or third child? Third child.
This is their second child.
Second child, so good for them.
Good for them. She was kind of playing it off in some interview. Like, they asked if she was pregnant. She didn't deny it, but she didn't also say she was, so it's weird, but from all accounts, she's pregnant, and it's changed up some storylines. Supposedly, I believe she's pregnant. That's what everyone's saying and telling me.
All confirmation is coming from the fact that, you know, basically everybody is on it. So, if she's not pregnant, we're idiots.
Big old work if she's not.
Yeah, it's a great work if she's not, but if she is, congratulations to her and her husband. And I know they're looking forward to another bundle of joy. And speaking of the baby front, well, Brandi and Cody made an announcement last night on AEW. They revealed the gender of their baby isn't going to be a little girl.
Congrats to them as they continue to inform us of everything going on.
I know they're both ecstatic. Congratulations to them. And from what I understand, Cody was beside himself when he found out. So, in a good way.
Yeah, in a good way.
So, he's very excited.
Very excited.
Moving on from that, we have a few signings that we need to talk about. Taya Valkyrie and Harlem Bravados both signed with WWE. So, congratulations with them. Or for them. Millie McKenzie has signed with NXT UK, so congratulations to her. That will be interesting. I hope she reunites with Tyler Bate and Trent Seven, and they do a little thing. Because they had a little thing on the indies.
Did they now?
Yeah. She mainly worked with Pete on the indies.
Mm.
And she attempted to befriend one Peter Dune.
Mm. Gotcha.
It kind of worked.
It kind of worked. Okay. Well, we'll say it's signing season. All the companies are losing people and signing people. We've seen ROH sign some people. We've seen WWE sign. I've heard a number, 20-something people WWE is in the process of signing.
Wow. Their HR department is busy.
So the performance center is about to be beefed up a little bit. So signing season, y'all. Signing season. And we saw, LA Knight on LA Knight debut. We've seen the couple we just announced. It's signing season.
Well, that just tells you that they're probably ramping up to go back out on the road soon and begin traveling. So they're beefing up their rosters again.
Yeah, and they're expanding their rosters, and which also could mean turnover.
Yep.
At some point too, because yeah.
Let's hope not, but it could, because there are rumors that people have opted not to re-sign their contracts, and there are several coming up here shortly. So we'll see how that all plays out, but hopefully everything is golden and everybody is happy in the end. Moving on from that, Progress is going to debut on the WWE Network, and they're going to start with Chapter 104, so you can look forward to that. I believe that's this weekend?
Yeah. This weekend at 3 Eastern, live on the WWE Network. This is footage they taped a few weeks ago, and they taped it in on a closed set and everything like that, so everything's safe.
Everything's safe. Everything's on the up and up.
Yeah.
Also debuting on the WWE Network will be WWE 24 Big E. It is set to air on February 28th, and it's kind of going to go into his life story, which that should be very exciting because I know he's got some stuff going on. So everybody check that out. And then in terms of the WWE stuff, last but not least, it was announced today that Snickers is set to sponsor WrestleMania yet again. And for the first time ever, it will be sponsoring the main event of WrestleMania. So that's exciting.
It's very exciting. This is the 6th year for WrestleMania and Snickers to be the presenting sponsor of the show. And this is the first time the WrestleMania main event will have an actual sponsor to it. So that's cool. There'll be WWE-themed Snicker bars debuting in mid-March at your local Dollar General with WWE taglines on them, from Alexa Bliss to Roman Reigns and a couple others.
There's a Let Me In one. I'm so going to find it.
I did not see Bray's name attached, but you know, we'll see.
Well, they might slip one in there. Moving on to ROH. They have announced that their 19th anniversary pay-per-view will be on March 26th. It will be on a closed set with no audience, unfortunately. But they are going to go ahead and do the show and air it on pay-per-view. So that's exciting for them.
A 4-hour spectacular.
So everybody check that out.
19 years for Ring of Honor.
It doesn't feel like it's been 19 years. It makes me feel super old.
Yeah, it makes me feel super old too, but it's like, yeah.
But it makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. Like, I always go back to the debut of TNA, which was the day I graduated high school was TNA's first pay-per-view. That makes me feel old.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, oh man, I feel old now because it doesn't feel like it was 19 years ago, but yeah, I guess it.
Yeah.
Guess it was, yeah.
Yeah.
2002. Moving on. Moving on, we all say, let's do the Blame Brents.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
It's the next thing I need to put up. Make a thing for is the Blame Brents.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you do. So this is a rather mysterious injury. Nobody's really sure what is wrong with him unless it's updated, but MVP appears to be injured.
He supposedly blew out his knee on Monday Night Raw. He went for an MRI. No word on how severe and whether he was talking to surgeons or not. He was still getting an MRI, so they were still reporting correctly that he's injured. Since he never actually said it, the dirt sheet said I was talking to surgeons. That's the only thing of the story he denied. Nothing else. So,
So.
Blown out knee.
Hashtag blame Brent.
We think. Knee injury.
Knee injury of some mysterious kind. All right, NXT?
Let's do NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
Show
it, yeah, that's I mean, the show was interesting. It got more interesting later in the evening after the show because fans get worked. Do you want to start with all that?
Do you want to start with the end?
No, we'll start with all the Kyle stuff. Kyle O'Reilly came out and he was very pissed off and disappointed over the last few days. He's been very emotional. It says Adam Cole ruined something special for all of us. He got stabbed in the back, but despite it all, you're still my brother. Calls out Adam Cole. He said, you'll listen to me, hear him out, yada, 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 but in the end, I'll probably punch him in the face. But he wants to hear Cole out.
I mean, at least he was honest.
Yeah. He was very honest about it. So the Undisputed Era music plays. It's not Adam Cole, baby. It's Roderick Strong.
Roddy, no. Honey, no. Don't get in the middle of this.
He just
let them fight it out.
He said Cole acted on emotion and not hate. And then Kyle wanted none of it. He doesn't know who he could trust. He also said the word shit and got censored for it.
There were a couple censored moments on this show.
See, they actually know how to censor their curse words on like AEW who fake censors. Did I say it? Anyway, so he calls Adam Cole out again. This time he gets Finn Balor. Finn was mad that he trusted Kyle and shook his hand and all that, and then he got stabbed in the back. Roddy got him, tried to get involved there. As he got involved, Pete and the boys showed up and beat him down.
I don't know why Finn is mad at Kyle. Kyle was not responsible for Adam Cole kicking Finn Balor in the face. Like, if he goes back and watches it, he sees that Kyle is highly upset by it. Like, dude, I made a friend. I made a friend, man. And you just, like, kick him in the face. This is why we can't have nice things, Adam. It's all your fault.
A bunch of, yeah.
Yeah.
So there was all that. So we'll get more to Kyle here in a bit. But that was a good opening segment.
It was a very good opening segment. It was very entertaining. I liked this. It set up a lot of stuff for later in the show, which was good.
I want to mention right here. Before I mention that, we were informed that the Santos Escobar and Karrion Kross match will not be taking place tonight. It'll be taking place next week. And if Escobar doesn't show up, he'll be stripped the Cruiserweight title. Escobar basically said, nope, I'm not wrestling.
Escobar basically cut a promo that's like, fuck it, I'm out. And he's in the NXT parking lot. He's not even in the building. He's in his car and he just leaves. He's like, nope, I don't want any of that. Bye. Like, I sat here and cackled at that because it's like, if that is not the most honest thing I've ever seen, I don't know what to say because that was just incredible. It's been a long time. I shouldn't say I've never seen it, but it's been a long time since I've seen a wrestler just be like, you know what? Not feeling it. Nah. Bye. Just in that honest way is perfect. It's so perfect. I loved it so much. It's like, I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't know you could do that. Okay. All right. Respect. I'm feeling you here. Respect.
Regal also announced the main event of the show was Pete and the boys against Finn, Roddy, and Kyle.
Regal was obviously not there for the taping because he was being, I think he was at home.
He might have been at home or filming on his own.
I think probably what happened is something occurred where the Santos match had to be moved for some reason.
It was a late call on Tuesday before the show, so he probably was not booked.
Yeah, so they had to get the general manager involved and, you know, have Santos shoot the thing in the parking lot and, you know, all that good happy fun stuff.
Something came up where it just couldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But our next contest featured The Way, again, Candace and Indy, versus Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon.
Okay, so before we even get to the match. Before we get to the match, we need to talk about the promo that got dropped on social of Johnny Gargano and him looking for his son, where he makes fun of Taken and, like, every other kidnap movie, and he's pleading with somebody over a $500 reward for information on Austin Theory. And I'm pretty sure a bunch of people just tweeted him, go look at Dexter's Twitter, or it was Dexter, where's my money? Like, the fact that you just had Johnny and Candace and Indy with these looking for Austin, like, where is Austin Theory? Have you seen this man? Posters. They were walking around passing them out. Oh my God. It was great.
The best part is he goes, there's a $500,000 reward. The producer, the camera guy, man, goes,
Johnny, that says
500. It says
500. Oh. Oh, yeah. That'd be a lot of money. I don't have $500,000.
He's not worth, my child is not worth $500,000.
Like, I just had to laugh. It was so perfect. And then it was kind of almost as they're coming out, right? They're looking for Austin. Johnny sits down to do commentary as Candace and Indy are wrestling. And basically, it's like this giant secret that everybody's in on, except for Johnny, that Dexter Loomis took Austin Theory. Like, it was to the point that I think somebody, like, either WWE NXT or Austin him, or Dexter himself, slowed down the footage enough to get a screen cap of Dexter, like, putting the cloth over Austin's face from Sunday. And I just was sitting there laughing the whole time because Johnny's like, I don't know where he is. I don't know who took him. I can't find my son anywhere. I just want to find my son. We just want to know if he's okay.
So, remember,
and he gave Vic Joseph the shit the whole time.
Because they're good friends. So, you know.
With egging on from Wade Barrett.
Yeah. So the match is taking place, and we now go back to Halloween Havoc and the white van. And the white van appears midway through the match, and Johnny goes to the van.
The creepy white van is canon.
And so he's banging on the comeback from break, and they're back from break. Austin Theory and Johnny are on the ramp, and the sun is there. And that led to a distraction, and Ember and Shotzi got the win. It was a good match.
So we need to talk about the van thing, because Johnny goes out there, right? He's banging on the van, and it's locked, and he's trying to get in it. And somehow, some way, he got Austin out. We don't know how he got him out, but he got him out, and he brings Austin out. And Austin's got a zip tie on his wrists, holding his wrists together. I think he maybe had a gag, maybe not.
I don't remember,
but he's dressed rather awkward.
So they explain what happened. One, Johnny realized that he was chloroformed and taken by Dexter. Two, he thought he was on vacation and his sleeping problem was fixed because he was wearing a vacation shirt. And that the whole time he's all like, it's about vacation. And they're trying to, they did the earmuffs thing where you can't, don't listen to what they're saying. And like, yeah, it's on the WWE Network Twitter. It's amazing.
It's just, I don't even know, but what's great. Yeah, so he's in a cutoff, just to set it up, a cutoff white, one of those old school, like, white painted shirts kind of thing that's cropped, like a crop top, a fanny pack, and then some of those, like, flamingo pants that were cut off into shorts.
Yeah.
So, basically, Dexter Loomis kidnapped Austin Theory, kept him drugged the entire time, and then mysteriously brought him back for some reason, but had him dressed up as, like, his little boy toy thing. I don't know. It was weird. It was very, very, very weird. The clothes were like, So basically, the implication is Dexter got Austin naked at some point.
He had his way.
With the way.
With, Austin.
Dexter got some lovin'. I don't know how else to put that. That's just, yeah, moving on.
Pat McAfee cut a promo from his private jet, basically saying Pat was right.
I love this. This was the ultimate FU. He's like, I knew it! I told you! You all owe me! Peace out!
Leon Ruff beat Isaiah Swerve Scott, and then Isaiah Swerve Scott beat his ass afterwards.
This is a good match.
Quick little match, yeah. It's fine. Caden Catanzaro. Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter took on Jesse Camara and Aaliyah. You had, Xia Li watching from the stage, and then, by the way, Casey and Kane got the win. Afterwards, Casey goes up to Xia and is trying to talk to her like a good friend, and then Xia marks her and says she will be purged next week.
Is this like Pirates of the Caribbean? Is that how this works? I don't know. I'm just trying to understand how the whole marking and purging thing works. Is it like the Davy Jones situation? Or like, so if they go anywhere, Xia can find them? Or is it like, you know, she just washes the stuff off and it's fine? Like, how does this work?
I don't know for sure because I don't know the backstory of Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
So, like, the backstory of the second movie, and we're gonna go on a tangent. We're going on a little story, guys, is that Jack Sparrow owes a debt to Davy Jones, and Davy Jones calls in the debt, and so he gets on his hand the black spot or the black mark or something. Well, I forget what they call it in the movie, but he gets basically like a black mark on the palm of his hand that he's continuing to try to cover up, because once people see it, they're like, oh, plague, away with you, you're marked. I don't want none of that business up in here. So, like, basically, Jack is, like, trying to run from Davy Jones the entire movie because Davy Jones is trying to collect on the debt. And the movie ends where Davy Jones collects on the debt. Spoilers. But yeah, so I'm just curious, because basically, as long as Jack is on the sea, Davy Jones can find him. But if Jack is on land, then Davy Jones can't get to him, because Davy Jones can only come on land, like, once every 10 years. 7 years, 10 years, something like that. I don't know. Anyway, so I'm just curious if, like, this whole Xia Li thing is, like, you know, they marked her, or they marked Casey, so is it, like, a whole Pirates of the Caribbean, Davy Jones situation, or what is this?
I'm not sure.
I mean, it was cool. It was different. It was not them coming out and destroying somebody. I'm still trying to understand the point of Boa, other than he's adorable and we love him.
Mm-hmm.
What purpose does he serve? Because we saw the throne lady, and I'm sorry, I don't remember her name. We saw her kind of like rough Boa up last week, so I don't know if like he's there to manipulate Xia Li or what his exact purpose is, but he stood there and he watched the match in the red and the smoke and everything, and then she came and like marked Casey, and it was a whole thing.
Speaking of a whole thing, Beth Phoenix is in the ring.
Oh my god.
And we're going to introduce the Dusty Classic winners. We first bring out the men, Wes Lee and Nash Carter, MSK. And they're super hyped and everything like that. Then she brought out the women, Dakota, Kai, and Raquel Gonzalez, and they come to the ring. And Dakota's all smiles. Raquel's all smiles. They bragged about being the best team in the tournament. But introduced themselves to Raquel to Nia and Shayna. Kai noted that Baszler ran away from NXT after Rhea Ripley beat her ass. Raquel said that's the same Ripley that Gonzalez sent packing as well. So they're, you know, Baszler said Kai is the same Kai that runs around scared, just like the time Baszler broke her arm. Dakota says she's not the same before, and that she's not the same one person she was before, and that things are going to differently when she kicks the head off of Shayna Baszler. Nia said that she was here to honor Dusty Rhodes, who at one point called her a badass bitch, and she's the biggest and the baddest. And Raquel was like, she never met Dusty, but I'm the baddest bitch here now, basically.
There was a lot of baddest bitch being thrown around.
So we know that the tag titles will be online on March 3rd. So explain what was happening in the background.
So in the background, as this is all going on,
as all the bitching is going on.
As they're all just yelling at each other and Shayna is making hard eyes at Dakota, it was adorable. We have MSK and Beth in the far corner, back behind everybody. And I don't know where they got it, but I applaud them. They had popcorn and they're just sitting there, all three of them, obnoxiously eating popcorn as all four of these women are just like laying waste to each other. And then Raquel just drops a bomb on, like, Nia at the very end. And somebody couldn't handle it. And they fell on their back. And they were, like, basically, like, twitching, convulsing. And you know, as if that wasn't enough, NXT put out the GIF this morning of the dude twitching and convulsing. And they're like, caption this. And I'm like, that is just not fair. All right? Because we all know what that looks like. Like, dude's on his back. Clearly, like, you know, looks like he's having an orgasm. I'm just gonna say it. He looked like he was having a fucking orgasm there on the ring apron. And it's like, we can't even caption that because I can't can't keep that PG. It's just not fair. But it was so good in the background. Like, it just made everything in the background.
It did.
Also, looking forward to this tag team match tremendously.
We re-aired the Cameron Grimes music video. This time it ended with the car in a car accident. But Cameron was okay. I can just buy another one. I'm rich, bitch.
I'm not a fan of Lamborghinis, but I, inwardly, collapsed a little bit. Seeing that wrecked car, the fact that they bought a Lamborghini specifically to wreck it just is oh, that's unfortunate. That or what they did is they just swapped the bumpers on the car. That's what I'm hoping they did, is they just swapped the bumper with a wrecked one. Or they just set it up to make it look like it was wrecked. I don't know. But yeah, I was just oh, that hurts. Because that's a $250,000 car?
Something like that, yeah.
Something ridiculous like that. So, yeah, you're okay. All right, sure.
Sure, whatever.
Run it up, I guess. Also, Cameron had a better suit. Still no shirt.
Yeah, Kushida beat Tyler Rust. Solid match.
Very solid match. Just got set up with Malcolm Bivens basically talking smack to Kushida. And Kushida's all right, you want me to bite your boy? Let's go. And yeah, I like this. I like this a lot.
We heard more from L.A. Knight. He's the hottest free agent, but they have the wrong story. NXT belongs to LA Knight. That's not an insult. That's just a fact of life. Dummy. Yeah, I like the dummy button, but they didn't have the dummy button. But he's basically being Eli Drake without being Eli Drake.
I like that he coordinated his glasses color to his front door.
Mm-hmm. Zoe Stark got her first singles win.
Yeah, she looked really good. She had her debut and she looked awesome.
Karrion Kross basically said, Santo has two options. Show up next week get a punch through the head, or if it doesn't show up, Cross has to go find Santos.
This was a great little promo with Scarlett and Karrion, where you had Scarlett begin with the tarot cards, and then Karrion kind of swung in at the end and basically laid down the threat. This was a nice little promo for them.
So it's the main event: Pete Dunne, Oney Lorcan, Danny Burch versus Kyle O'Reilly, Roderick Strong, and Pete Dunne. We had Kyle and Roddy bickering in the parking lot at some point during the show.
Bitter spouses.
It's a good match, and then there's a ref bump when Adam Cole shows up.
Oops.
He grabbed Kyle O'Reilly, suplexed him on the steps. Pete Dunne beat Finn Balor in the middle of the ring. Adam Cole then appeared and hit Finn Balor with a super kick and stood over him holding up the championship. So that was a great angle. Things got interesting about 10:30, 11 o'clock last night when the internet took a hard sell by Kyle O'Reilly and decided to turn a stretcher angle that was taped for after the show to a seizure. Thankfully, his peers believe what they saw on the internet. Kyle's fine. There was no seizure. It was just an internet blow up.
Which, thank goodness for that, right? Yeah, thank goodness Kyle's okay. Obviously, the angle was great and it was convincing. WWE actually kind of messed that up a little bit because they never attributed it to people connecting this fake story, injury storyline, to the fact that Kyle has type 1 diabetes. And everybody was really, really worried that something had happened with his diabetes, or he had taken, something had gone wrong with a move and that he was not going to be okay. And so everybody was be okay, Kyle, thoughts and prayers to Kyle, sending all this love his way. And he was oh, everybody loves me, but they all thought I was dead.
Yeah, that's yeah. So what the whole idea is, they were trying to write Kyle off TV for a little bit. I think that was the stretcher angle it was supposed to be. They're gonna write him off so they can do Finn and Adam and then get to Kyle and Adam. So you take Kyle off the TV for a few weeks, then he can make the babyface comeback in a few weeks around WrestleMania time or right after WrestleMania and go from there.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And they probably will. They had him tweet out, or he tweeted out, that he's okay, but that he's very banged up, but he's going to come back for vengeance and everything like that. So I don't know if they're going to show the stretcher angle or not, given what the reaction to it was, and kind of what happened. We'll see. But very, very happy that Kyle is okay and that it was just an angle and nothing horrible happened.
But that was NXT.
That was NXT. So I say we take our one and only break of the evening. And when we come back, we're going to be doing Tweet of the Week and Elimination Chamber. You don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
We'll be right back. Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
That moment when a debate actually breaks out during the Greater Than Great debate.
And it's Lauren from Boy Meets World taking on Terrence Winningham. Sister, sister.
I'm going with that homewrecker, Velma, from the Scooby-Doo movies.
Lauren cannot win. She tried to break up the best couple in the world, so she gets eliminated.
No, Lauren's moving on.
No, she's getting eliminated.
Brock, fuck you.
She's getting eliminated. She tried
you know
to
what?
Break. She
fuck
tried,
you.
She tried Look. To break them up.
No, no. It's not her fault, okay?
It is her, totally
if
her
he,
fault.
If he had doubt, then it's on him.
It's her fault.
No, she didn't do anything. She was just there. Corey was the one who took the steps.
She knew what she was doing.
No, she didn't do anything.
She knew exactly what she was doing.
Okay, this is the Greater Than Great debate right now, okay? No. Lauren didn't do anything. She didn't pressure him. She didn't put him in any weird situation. She was just there.
Who was the one who left the note?
All she did
Thank
was
you.
Let him know her feelings. She Dude. Didn't say, come meet me in my room and bone me.
Do you know what the note actually said? No. Thank you. Get her out of here.
Join us for more Greater Than Great debates. Saturday nights, midnightish Eastern, during CB Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Score, of course, too. Yes! Yes! It happened! Rock is secretly fuming right now.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Mondays. Once Monday Night Raw ends, join us for the Monday Night Raw post show.
Today I have something super serious to talk to you about.
Join us as we break down all the highs, the lows, and all the holy f- moments that go down every single Monday night.
Exercise!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Do I have your attention now?
Streaming live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Ha!
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKANDSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKANSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
If you smell what the Rock is cooking.
Hey guys, my name is Ulilato Gefu, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Right here on wildtalkradio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on wildtalkradio.com, rockradioshow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, we'll just hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free for 30 days. It's that simple. Just use your Prime Gaming sub if you also want to follow the channel or just hang out and chat. That is fine as well. And yes, you heard Uli, the Young Rock, debuted this week. So please go check that out. From what I understand, it's an awesome show. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't watched it yet. But I heard it's awesome. So please, please go check it out and support that project because I'm sure he's amazing in it.
Go to wildtalkradio.com/dishingitout and you can read my review of the first episode.
Ding! And with that, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on my space until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write that? What you feeling? 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Alrighty, so Sportsnet's tweeted out, the Golden Knights are rocking those gold buckets tonight. Thoughts? And it's their very shiny golden helmets. And Renee Paquette responds, I think I love these. Or is that hate? I think it's love. She's not sure. Britt Baker. I bet that piranha plant flosses more than you do, but I love you anyway. Happy V-Day, bebe. And it's a picture of Adam Cole with a giant piranha plant from Mario. Hit him down and floss him, Britt. It's fine. Hangman Page. If we ever invent time travel, I hope my ancestors see this and travel back to last night and stop me from eating all those Oreos. Fills it up with, yes, I think I meant descendants, not ancestors. But in a world of time travel, is there a real difference? I now need to know how many Oreos. Was it like a whole bag situation, or was it like a half bag, or like what?
Maybe.
You know, what's going on there? Darkness 429. I'm shooting genitals in the leg today. He follows it up with, in game, pool shark. Yes, take her legs for me. She hired a hitman to take me out. She responds, that definitely sounds like a made up story. Tim responds, was it because of the horses? And Eric / pool shark puts out a gif. Yes. Yes, it was. And Tarkov reporter responds, completely justified. Matt Mitchell. I bet the Snowbirds are so pissed right now. I mean,
yeah,
not a lie. That's all I have.
Okay. The following is Gritty.
Gritty!
I needed a vacation. A thread.
Oh, God.
Last weekend was eye-opening for me, which is shocking because my eyes have been open for as long as I can remember. I realized something. Self-love is important, people. If you don't love you, how's anyone else supposed to? Valentine's Day was a rare me day, admiring my nude portrait by the fire. And catching up on Jerry Springer reruns. But one self-love day a year just isn't going to cut it. I work so hard for yous, the Grittisons, and in return I get what? Retweets, endless praise, and tattoos of me on your derriere. I deserve more. I deserve it all. When you give the way I do, completely and wholeheartedly committed to your craft, you must take some time to refill the tank. And I have decided I'll be refilling my tank in Lake Tahoe this year. Like the mythical Sasquatch, no relation. My furry bod craves the crisp mountain air. Gritty, what will you do on vacation? Whatever I want. That's the beauty of it. Maybe I'll have a spa day. Maybe I'll play in the snow. Maybe a late night rendezvous with my old pal Tahoe Tessie. What?
Tahoe Tessie?
Mm-hmm.
Get Gritty Lay 2021.
And yes, internet, don't worry. I've been tested. COVID negative. Sit and reach 11 inches below average. Scoliosis, inconclusive. We deserve this. I leave Friday.
Peace. So,
go ahead.
So, do the Flyers have a bye week? Is that what spurned this? I'm just confused. I can't tell if this is, like, actually Gritty or if this is the social media manager who's, like, fucking him out.
The Flyers play in Lake Tahoe against the Bruins at the outdoor series game in Lake Tahoe this weekend.
Ah! That explains. Thank you. Proceed.
That would be why he's headed to Lake Tahoe. And this is a long note from Pete Burns, ESPN. Some personal news that I wanted to share before I get out there. Love y'all. First off, I want to thank you all for your support over the years, which has meant the world to me, which makes this even harder to say today. In the next few days, there will be a report that will come out that, while disgusting, does have some elements of truth to it. It's not something I'm proud of, but something that I cannot hide from any longer. Yes, it is true. I ate a box of Tangalongs in one sitting. 15 cookies. Gone. I understand that actions have consequences, and I'm trying to wrap my head around it, how I could put myself in such a situation. It all happened so quickly. I apologize to all those I've let down and vow to learn from this and make it up to everyone I've let down in this dark, yet fulfilling moment. Please respect my privacy during these times. # Team Tagalong.
Respect.
Those are all I have.
Alrighty. So, Elimination Chamber, which takes place this Sunday on the WWE Network. I hope everybody's looking forward to it because it should be an interesting show. They're taking a different approach with it this year. We have not had Edge or
Bianca
declare for the Rumble or declare who they're facing based on their Rumble wins yet. So there's a lot of open-ended stuff right now in terms of that, which makes the guessing game on the Chambers, which are both men's this year, a little bit more interesting in terms of the outcome. So I like that they've sort of left stuff to chance, because normally when Chamber comes up, we know who the Rumble winner is facing, which means that if it's like a Raw Chamber, we know that the champion's probably going, you know, depending on where the person goes, we know who's going to win, is what I'm trying to say. So we don't know that.
We don't. And this is the last WWE Network event.
Yep, they moved to Peacock next month.
Yeah. So,
I'm sorry. That's rude of me to cheer, but honestly, yes.
We'll see if it's a cheer or a boo.
We'll see if it's a cheer or a boo. I am excited for it just because I think I can get Peacock on my TV as an app, and I won't need the Roku anymore, which if that's the case, I'm really excited about it. Because one of my biggest complaints about the WWE Network was when they did the upgrade on it a few years ago, they made the decision that they were not going to have it on specific devices anymore. Mm-hmm. And one of my TVs fell into that category of not being in supported anymore. And it's my main TV that I have in my family room. So it's like, I have to have another way to watch the WWE Network if I want to use it in my living room. Otherwise, I can go up to my bedroom and I can watch it on my bedroom TV. But that's not as conducive for what I'm trying to do while I'm watching the pay-per-view. Plus, there's a chance I'll probably fall asleep. So, yeah. I'm actually excited for the Peacock stuff and where it goes.
So let's get into the show.
So kicking off the show, we are going to be talking about the SmackDown Elimination Chamber, where we're having Daniel Bryan take on Cesaro, take on Sami Zayn, take on Baron Corbin, take on Kevin Owens, take on the Uso for the chance to face Roman Reigns one-on-one, because Roman ain't fighting in the chamber.
He's bigger than the chamber. He's smart enough to know he doesn't need to. He's contractually obligated to defend the championship at Elimination Chamber, but his contract does not say he has to be in the Elimination Chamber.
I mean, loophole. Loophole is important.
So
I like that they had him do that.
I mean, with his role now, he should not be put in situations where he's uncomfortable.
Or could get hurt.
So we can rule out Baron Corbin from winning anything, right?
Yeah, poor Baron.
And I would assume the same can be said about Sammy.
Yeah.
Then that's where things get tricky. You got Jey Uso involved, Roman's cousin. They main evented two pay-per-views last year. Viable person challenge Roman once again, and that would lead to some interesting storytelling for the match afterwards. There's Daniel Bryan, who is always a true contender for the WWE title in any shape or form. And then there's the guy they've been really trying to rebuild and reestablish with getting wins over the likes of Daniel Bryan, Cesaro. They've done a really good job taking Cesaro out of the tag team with Nakamura and really putting him in a prime focus on SmackDown. Like, months ago, like, I think it was like 3 months ago, they sent out a survey or something. Who would you like to see push more? And I think Cesaro was one of the names on there. And they've done a great job in the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks of putting focus on Cesaro, putting focus on him just being himself. Helps that he re-signed his contract and they know he's going to be around for a while, and the goal is to help make him and make others around him. Same with Daniel Bryan, which is very helpful. And then there's Kevin Owens, who, well, has lost 3 straight times to Roman Reigns, but continues to fight back. Because it's fight, Owens, fight.
I feel like for this, Cesaro's an interesting choice, but I don't think he's quite there yet.
He's a name to look out for, because with Edge going to Mania, Cesaro has no plan there. But it'd be something different, where you don't have Kevin losing again. It would suck if Cesaro lost, but at least he's seen in that picture. So after Mania, he could be put back in the picture. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But like, the smart money goes Kevin Owens on this one, right? Because it's just the continuation of the story. It just makes more sense, right?
I feel like there's going to be a hard push from Roman, and I feel like Roman is going to definitely attempt to have his cousin win, just because I think the plan is to have Jay win the chamber, and then he goes on to face Roman, and then they either do like a finger poke of doom, or they just have Jay lay down for Roman, and that's pretty much it. That you don't really have Roman having to defend the title that hard. You just have him sort of really fulfill, in quotations, the obligation. I would like to see Kevin just to finish that out, just to close that feud out and potentially, and we all, I think it's fair to say Kevin probably would not beat Roman, but he would definitely give him a run for his money, especially because Jay would potentially be taken out in the chamber. So there's no outside interference there. And likely what's going to happen is Adam Pearce, because Roman's really been having this feud with Adam Pearce. Adam Pearce will try to like force Roman to do what he really wants Roman to do, which would include defending the title in the chamber.
Yeah.
So it's like Roman doesn't necessarily have to participate in the actual Elimination Chamber match. He has, but he does have to defend the title in the Elimination Chamber, because this is probably going to happen. Like, they're going to be sequential and one will happen right after the other.
One would assume, yeah.
One would assume. And so Adam Pearce is like, well, we can't bring the cage up, so we're going to have you, you know, defend the title essentially in the chamber. Go. And there's nothing Roman can do about it, because basically Adam Pearce and Roman Reigns have had this sort of back and forth tug of war with each other, where they keep trying to one up each other and screw each other over. And in the end, Adam Pearce is probably going to win that fight simply because he is management, and as powerful in quotations as Roman is, Adam Pearce just has more because he's on that management level and he can hold Roman to his contractual obligations. And Roman has to do it.
It always makes you wonder, because in years past, they wouldn't be afraid to have a quick title change. Like, if Owens wins the chamber and then gets beat down by Roman again, you can say, oh, he just went through the chamber and that's why he lost. But he's lost every other time. It just feels like when it comes to babyfaces and how you book a babyface, the babyface needs to get his at some point. So if you're going to keep beating down Kevin, he needs his moment. And like, because they have Fastlane a month later, they can always go back on course going, hey, Roman wins back the title on the first Peacock event. Roman wins back his title.
I wouldn't be down for Kevin winning the title, because ultimately I feel like whoever beats Roman for that title, they are not going to be physically stronger than him. They'll be on his physical level, but they're not going to be stronger than him to overpower him for the title. They're going to outsmart him and Heyman. Because Roman's doing this very psychological character, but he's doing it with the advice of Heyman. So Roman Reigns thinks he's on top of the world, thinks he's the smartest man alive. He has Paul Heyman beside him, advising him, helping him make all these moves, that kind of thing. You're going to have somebody come in and basically go, okay, I see what game you're playing. I can outwit you. And I know I can. And you see that kind of going on with Adam Pearce, where they're having the chess match and Adam Pearce is on Kevin Owens' side. And I think Adam Pearce wouldn't mind seeing Roman Reigns get taken down a peg or two and could potentially help Kevin win. But ultimately, Kevin needs to win on his own. And Kevin is certainly smart enough and clever enough and crafty enough to beat Roman on his own. He doesn't need any help there. And I wouldn't mind seeing Kevin play that chess match and do that. Like, mm-hmm. He took Roman to task and he barely lost last show at the Rumble. Barely lost, except for those pesky handcuffs. So I wouldn't mind seeing Kevin take Roman to task here. I would save Brian and Roman for later.
Yeah.
I honestly would.
Yeah.
And I would save Cesaro and Roman for later. Like, build Cesaro up a little bit more and then point him at Roman. Because if you just point him at Roman right now and he loses, he's going to lose all the credibility that you've just stacked him up with.
My two are Kevin and Cesaro. I'm so torn, because I don't want to see Owens lose and I want to see Cesaro lose. But the easier one is to pick Kevin and have him lose again. So I,
if they weren't doing the title match on the same night with the chamber quote-unquote winner, I would say Cesaro 100%, because you have the time to build Cesaro up.
You have four more weeks to get to Fastlane.
And then get to Mania. So you have plenty of time to get Cesaro ready for Mania if he wins and there's no title match.
But we all know Edge is the Mania guy.
Yeah. I'm just saying, it's, you have the time with Cesaro if Roman wasn't doing the title match. Oh, that's, oh shit. Well,
yeah, that's why there would be Fastlane and then Mania. God, you have one more event before WrestleMania.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking about, if Edge goes for Roman, then Kevin's probably not winning the title.
No, but Kevin could win the title and lose it at Fastlane, and then you go, you have a four week build of Edge and Roman to WrestleMania. It's tricky. It's tricky. All right. I'm going to read these names out in order before we make our selections.
Okay.
Jey Uso, Kevin Owens, Baron Corbin, Sami Zayn, Cesaro, Daniel Bryan. I want to see what this thing says first.
Wrestler 3.
5.
Cesaro. That's what the wheel says. Magic 8 Ball, will Cesaro win the Elimination Chamber? Yes. So the inanimate objects, which lost to what? One of them.
We lost to the 8 Ball.
Lost to the 8 Ball. Because it went perfect, and we were like 4-1 on the last week. It's very easy to pick Kevin and have him lose to Roman. Yeah, I'm going to go predictable. I'm going to Kevin Owens wins the chamber. Who do you have winning the chamber?
I have to go Kevin. I mean, with Fastlane in the middle and Edge not declaring yet, I feel like the feud is between Kevin and Roman, and there's enough there that it's like, again, they could either do the match in the chamber or Jey Uso is going to get beat down enough to where you're not going to have that outside interference. You're not going to have that help. And you could have something where Paul Heyman gets banished from ringside, or he gets banned from ringside and he's not allowed to be there to help Roman, and Roman's got to do it on his own. And can Roman do it on his own? That's the question. So I gotta go with Kevin.
You have Kevin winning the chamber.
Kevin winning the chamber.
Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens. Who do you have winning?
Oh God, I want Kevin to win. I want Kevin to win just to take Roman down a peg or two. Just so that way you don't have Roman like powering through guys, as it were, like he was before. And then it's like, because if Kevin loses, where does he go from there? Because Edge is then going to go for Roman, and that kind of leaves Kevin out in the cold, so to speak. I want Kevin to win. Kevin,
I want to do the same. I really do. That's what my brain is telling me to do, but I'm going to go Roman retained. But I wouldn't be surprised if Kevin wins. Magic 8-Ball, does Roman Reigns retain? It is decidedly so. Magical Wheel of Fun says
Wrestler 2.
Kevin.
Oh God, it picked with me.
It did.
All right, up next we have the U.S. title on the line as Bobby Lashley takes on Matt Riddle and possibly Keith Lee. He might be hurt. He might not be hurt. We don't know.
Nobody knows what the hell is going on here.
So MVP, this is a very interesting scenario. And I hate to keep using interesting, but it is. Because you have MVP injured and you are having issues between Bobby and MVP. You're having issues in the Hurt Business in general, which means Bobby isn't necessarily going to have the help that he would normally have. And Bobby losing the title could cause the Hurt Business to implode further in on themselves. Because he's been a great champion, he's been a great title holder, but I think they're possibly moving the title on to either Keith Lee or Matt Riddle to give them a run for a while. Matt Riddle just resigned, so that is something in his favor. Vince likes him. I think they want to push him. And then there's Keith Lee, who we don't know what's going on with him. I hope he's healthy. I hope he's okay. I hope he's on the show Sunday. Who I think would be a really credible U.S. champion. I think he would be wonderful. And I would love to see him get the title, especially since they kind of brought him up. They put him in the feud with Randy. It really kind of didn't go anywhere because of COVID, and people were out and people got sick and nobody really knew what was going on. Freaking COVID. So I think you can start to, quote unquote, rebuild Keith Lee here.
So long term, you look around and go, what's your WWE championship match at WrestleMania? We have names in the chamber, but none of those names seem to be the right fit for Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania. Even Sheamus is not the guy. He's not been credible enough. He hasn't done enough to be put in the title match at WrestleMania this year.
I don't know about that. I would argue that. Sheamus is a former Grand Slam champion.
I understand
that. He's a multi-time champion.
But just go with me on this for a second. There's been one guy who has dominated everybody he's come across with, basically, in the last 8 months. That's Bobby Lashley. Is Bobby Lashley the next challenger for Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania?
No.
Why not?
Because they did Bobby Lashley versus Drew McIntyre. They did it right after he won the title, and it was terrible.
I understand that. But he's dominated everyone else. I don't want to see it, but I'm just throwing it out there. So you take him out. So if the idea, I'm not saying it is, but if the idea is to do Lashley and Drew at WrestleMania, you got to get the U.S. title off of Lashley. And in a triple threat, you can do that, and you can put it on Riddle or Keith Lee from there. See, so like, the whole Raw side's just tricky when you think long-term because you don't know anything. There's no direction.
Okay, so I'm gonna ask you this question.
Okay.
Say Bobby Lashley's being pointed at Drew McIntyre.
Mm-hmm.
Hypothetically. at WrestleMania.
Yes.
How do you get him there?
One, you take the U.S. title off of him, and then you have him win some sort of number one contenders match at Fastlane. That's how I get him there.
No.
I don't want it. I'm just throwing out hypotheticals.
I know, but I mean, I can see it. I don't.
No one wants it. I don't want it.
Yeah, I don't want it. I mean, no offense to either man, because they're both perfectly credible. But I just don't. It doesn't do anything for me. Like,
it doesn't do anything for anyone, because we've seen it, and it wasn't that great. Others would disagree with me and you and saying it was really good. I'm not one of them. I thought it was okay. It wasn't blown away.
For me, it was too soon. Like, you had Bobby Lashley come back. He was coming out of the story with Lana. He had just paired up with MVP. And you were having Bobby Lashley start to be built. And then you sort of kicked the teeth out of him, as it were, because he went into the feud with Drew and he lost. And he not only lost once, I believe he actually lost twice. Two or three times.
No, I think he lost twice, yeah.
Yeah, against Drew back to back. And that just knocked any momentum he had out of him. And that's kind of what led to the formation of the Hurt Business, was Bobby and MVP kind of regrouping. And then they brought all these guys in around them to form this sort of super stable where you had Bobby and Drew kind of flirt, but they never did anything after that. I don't think putting Bobby Lashley now against Drew McIntyre, even though he is in a stronger position than he was a year ago, is any better. Because I think we're going to see a repeat of exactly what happened. Bobby Lashley, realistically, unless they do a really good job with the build, doesn't stand a chance of beating Drew McIntyre just based on how they're booking right now.
Especially with MVP hurt and not be able to be a mouthpiece.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
So, circling back to this match, it was just a way to possibly get the belt off of Lashley. If the plan is not, Bobby Lashley should dominate Matt Riddle and keep the championship. Because they've been so 50-50 with Riddle. He gets a couple wins over the rest of the Hurt Business, but then Bobby beats his ass down all the time. And either Riddle wins because he sneaks it out on Bobby, or Bobby should dominate because that's been what they've done with him over the last 6 months. He's just dominated everyone. And I can't, factor Keith Lee in because...
Yeah, you don't know about Keith Lee.
You don't know. He was missing from Raw.
He's kind of not been a part of this build at all.
He was there for 1 week. And we understand the situation. His fiance had COVID, or tested positive, at least, for COVID. So it's put a little... it's sort of slowed this whole thing down. I don't... Like, you want to see big things for Keith Lee? Like, Keith Lee and Bobby Lashley one-on-one sounds like a good match.
See, I would question, are they going to point Keith Lee at Drew McIntyre?
But they blew that off on Raw at the beginning of the year.
Always go back to it.
Well, they can always go back to Lashley, too.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. If you need somebody for Drew McIntyre to face at Mania, you could always do Keith Lee, or you could always save it. It's really kind of up to you how you want to present it, but that's a possibility.
It's a possibility. None of these possibilities, and even going into the chamber match, none of those possibilities go, oh, hey, it's weird. With this match alone, I'm going Riddle wins the U.S. title.
Yeah, I have to go with Riddle because Lashley's been beating him up and dominating him. I feel like Riddle's going to pull it out on Lashley.
I don't have much confidence in that pick.
No, I have none, but...
I have none, but it's just one of those... I guess I have to go with that because
here's the thing. If Bobby Lashley beats Matt Riddle, then the feud's pretty much over because there's nothing else for Lashley to prove against Riddle. And also the other side of that is, too, the Hurt Business could play a factor in this. They could cost Lashley the title, which causes the further implosion within the group itself. And then you can have Lashley always go for Riddle for the title. Again, if you need to. So it's logically in terms of continuing the feud between everybody, between Riddle and Lashley and the Hurt Business, essentially, it makes sense for Riddle to win here.
Magic 8-Ball, does Bobby Lashley retain? Better not tell me. Does Matt Riddle win? Probably did it too fast. Does Matt Riddle win the U.S. title on Sunday? Most likely. A magical Wheel of Fun?
Wrestler 1.
That would be Lashley. Now let's get to the main event. There was Asuka and Lacey Evans.
Then Lacey got pregnant.
Then Lacey got pregnant, and WWE.com has not taken that match off the board yet, just as an FYI.
Yeah, until they have a women's match to replace it, I don't think they are, but interestingly, no other women's matches have been announced for this show.
Which will probably happen tomorrow on SmackDown.
Yeah, and the women did not get a chamber either.
That's fine, because I don't think either brand has 6 credible people you can throw in a chamber right now.
No, but Still, the ladies did not get a chamber this year. So, you have, actually defending his title in the chamber, Drew McIntyre taking on AJ Styles, taking on Jeff Hardy, taking on Kofi Kingston, taking on Sheamus, taking on Randy Orton. All right, we're just going to rule Randy Orton out right now. You want to know why? Because Alexa Bliss and Bray Wyatt are likely going to turn up and murder his ass. Because Alexa Bliss performed a rather occult ritual on Raw, summoning the spirit slash whatever's left of Bray Wyatt, rising him from the dead like bread. She put on the you know, the bread proof, and boom, there he was. Anyway, I'm taking Randy Orton out of this right now. He's not going to win because whatever they're doing between Randy and Bray is kicking up either for Fastlane or Mania, or possibly both. So Bray either coming in and kidnapping Randy, coming in and taking out Randy like what he did to Cena all those years ago, whatever. Something's going to happen with Randy and Bray. We may not actually see our most beloved cult leader, but something will happen. Although there are possibilities that we can discuss, but we'll talk about them after the match.
We'll talk about them now.
So,
because it's Drew's winning this, so.
Yeah, Drew's going to win this match. They're not going to take the title off Drew. There's, I mean, AJ, Jeff, Kofi, and Sheamus, they're all perfectly credible. Drew's going to win.
I'll break it down a little bit more, but I want to finish this topic. Continue.
So, you could just have Bray show up. That would be the simplest and easiest. You could have Alexa get in the chamber somehow. What would be cool is either Bray Wyatt, like, the lights go out, and you kind of have the lights flickering, and you just see, like, this smoking figure of Bray Wyatt, like his jacket's actually smoking, not he's smoking. I guess he's smoking. Standing in the place where he died, or like what's left of the outfit from the fire appears in the ring and disappears real quick. Because again, you're not going to have fans there, so it would be really easy to cut that spot in while Randy's in the ring, especially if he's in the ring by himself with everybody else in a pod or everybody else down. Because that's how this is going to go, is Randy's going to be alone, more or less, whenever this happens. You could also have Bray Wyatt appear in the pods. Imagine, all four of them.
Imagine you have hologram Bray Wyatts appear in all the pods. Imagine.
But do you do all the same, or do you do the different faces of Bray Wyatt?
I would do the different faces of Bray Wyatt. I would also do hologram Randy Orton's of different Randys, too. He sees himself everywhere, trying to figure out what's going on, and then they transition into Bray Wyatt.
Show the Husky Harris.
Not gonna show Husky Harris.
Show the Husky Harris.
They're not gonna show us Husky Harris.
They need to show us Husky Harris.
Who's Husky Harris?
He's a pig. He's Huskus the pig boy.
Anyway.
You could also have the puppets show up.
You could.
But they're like demented versions of the puppets. I mean, more so than what they already are.
I mean, maybe. But you, Randy's going to have a Bray Wyatt factor something. They have to do something. Whether it's at the chamber or it's the next time around. Bray's coming really fast. All over Randy.
Because he's ready. He's waited long enough.
The build up. It's been building for weeks. It's time for the climax.
Notice who did that this time. I'm just putting that there. Just notice who made every single reference there. But yeah. Sheamus and Drew, they're building that. That's probably going to be your Fastlane match.
Yeah. Statistically, AJ Styles has the best record on Monday Night Raw. Till losing in the Gauntlet match, he's been dominating people just like Lashley has. And they made mention of AJ's record heading into TLC, how good it was. And he's continued his role since and threw people in the Rumble and everything like that. So AJ Styles, they protected him pretty well. Jeff Hardy's Jeff Hardy. He's going to dive off of something. Kofi may or may not make the match. Lindsay believes Mustafa's going to take Kofi out.
He could.
And that could open up a spot for Mustafa or, you know, Bray. Who knows? But I don't see Kofi winning. I don't see Jeff Hardy winning. I don't see AJ Styles winning, even though AJ would be good. But they've already done Drew and AJ. So as a singles match for WrestleMania, that's also not a possibility because we've done it.
I mean, could you just have...
But we never had the finish because they did the ladder. They added Miz into it.
Well, and that's the outside factor, too, is the Miz factor. Because, again, there's not been a shot called for Drew. We're pretty much thinking that Edge is going to be pointed at Roman. That makes sense. So you have to have somebody that can face Drew at Mania. We just went through everybody in the chamber match. That's everybody that could potentially be lined up. So unless Bray deals with Randy in rather spectacular quick fashion, which he very much could because he's probably extremely pissed off, and he goes for Drew, it's highly unlikely that they're going to point Bray at the title really quickly. Miz has a guaranteed title shot in his possession.
He does.
And it's never been done, I think, Aunt Mania, where somebody has called their shot with Money in the Bank and said, I want to face you at WrestleMania for this title. Like, I know John Cena's done it where he called a shot, but it wasn't Mania.
It was on Monday Night Raw. We've had Sandow call his shot. We've had Rob Van Dam famously call his shot at ECW One Night Stand. We've had Seth Rollins cash in at Mania, but we never have had it declared for WrestleMania. Even though it's a great scenario, which I pointed out on Monday, I don't see it happening because Bad Bunny and everything like that. That's the weird thing. It's like Miz has to cash in at some point. Or he could never cash in. Or they could save for the night after WrestleMania and he cashes in and wins the belt because takes advantage of Drew. I mean, that's also a possibility. And it's weird to cash in without, you know, a crowd to react to an awesome cash in. It's sort of part of the thing with the briefcase. It's a big pop and we're living in weird times. So that's all your scenarios kind of thinking comes down to Drew and Sheamus in the end.
Which honestly, that doesn't need to be solved with a fight. It could be solved with a fight. You just have alcohol involved.
But I think it's Drew and Sheamus and Drew gets the win, survives with his title. But then if you have Drew, maybe it doesn't come down to that. Because if Drew beats Sheamus, then that means no point of doing a singles match. But it's WWE, they don't give a damn about it. You also have Braun Strowman could make his presence known in the chamber just because he's not in it. And he could take out someone like Kofi and put himself in it.
I mean, he could. He absolutely could. I feel like whatever's coming for Drew, we don't see it. And that's a good thing that we don't see it. We don't know. It could be a surprise that they're bringing in somebody from the outside. Goldberg could roll back up. Braun Strowman could show up, and that would be actually a fun way to do Mania, because you have your two people that won your titles last year at Mania facing each other for the title this year at Mania, and somebody gets that moment in the sun in Raymond James in front of the fans and somebody doesn't.
It's all possible. Jay White versus Drew McIntyre. No.
No, that's not gonna happen.
No.
Of course it was Brent that said that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Mr. Troublemaker over here.
The Troublemaker. I don't know. I'm going to go Drew retains the final two, or Drew or Sheamus or Drew and AJ. That's my feeling.
Yeah, I feel like Drew's going to win, but your final two will probably be Drew and Sheamus. Because I think whatever is going to make this match memorable is going to involve Randy. It's not necessarily going to involve Drew. Like, Jeff will throw himself off something. AJ will bump like crazy. Sheamus and Drew will get physical with each other. Randy's going to get taken out. And as for Kofi will always do something spectacular if he remains in the match. But I feel like somebody's going to get taken out, and whoever's is facing Drew at either Fastlane or Mania is going to put themselves in the match. Because you could simply have somebody say, I don't want to necessarily face you at Fastlane. I want you at Mania. Even though they're technically facing Drew here, but Chamber's always weird. You could also have Drew lose his title here.
Yeah, but he already lost it in the last few months. So I don't see him losing it here.
I know. I'm just throwing it out there.
I'm going, Drew. You're going.
I'm going to go with Drew.
Magic 8-Ball. Does Drew McIntyre retain? Yes.
Mm.
Definitely. Then we have to ask the magical wheel of fun. So, read out the order first. Drew, AJ, Jeff, Kofi, Sheamus, Randy.
5.
Sheamus.
All right. So that is it for our Rumble picks. Do you guys agree? Tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, Adlin's Ward.
You can make your picks facebook.com/groups/WildTalkRadioNetwork starting after SmackDown Saturday morning, something like that.
And they go up until the pay-per-view starts on Sunday. So with that, we're done.
We are, in fact, done. And we're done. No Fortnite with friends tonight. Don't have the energy to do much more. So, we'll have Fortnite with friends on Saturday before Stevie Ray Vaughan. So, hope everyone enjoys that. Saturday night, midnight-ish, SuperLive.com, GreatTheGreatDebate.com. Sunday, Russell Talk Radio returns to review the Elimination Chamber. Monday Night Raw, post-show, 11 p.m. Eastern on Monday night. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. You can check out WildTalkRadio.com/dishingitout to see my review on The Young Rock. If you have Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming, and you can subscribe for free by hitting the purple rectangle button below the screen. You can also use creator code ROCKETSACK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag Epic Printer. At Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Now you may go.
Sorry, I forgot about that last one. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lens Ward, LNSWRD, and don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Till then, bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.